ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲು ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಗೌರಂಗ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 4 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 30 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 24. ನಮೋ ವಿಶುದ್ಧ ಸತ್ವಾಯ ಹರಯೇ ಹರಿಮೇಧಸೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ಸರ್ವಸಾತ್ವತಾಂ. ನಮೋ ವಿಶುದ್ಧ ಸತ್ವಾಯ ಹರಯೇ ಹರಿಮೇಧಸೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ಸರ್ವಸಾತ್ವತಾಂ. ನಮೋ ವಿಶುದ್ಧ ಸತ್ವಾಯ ಹರಯೇ ಹರಿಮೇಧಸೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ಸರ್ವಸಾತ್ವತಾಂ. Ladies, please. Namaha, obeisances, Vishuddha Sattvaya, unto you whose existence is free from all material influence. Haraye, who takes away all miserable conditions of devotees. Harimedhase, whose brain works only for the deliverance of the conditioned soul. Vasudevaya, the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishnaya, unto Krishna. Prabhave, who increases the influence. Sarvasatvatam, of all kinds of devotees. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Dear Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you because your existence is completely independent of all material influences. Your Lordship always takes away the devotee's miserable conditions, for your brain plans how to do so. You live everywhere as Paramatma, therefore you are known as Vasudeva. You also accept Vasudeva as your father and you are celebrated by the name Krishna. You're so kind that you always increase the influence of all kinds of devotees. Purport. In the previous verse, it has been said, Grihita Maya Guna Vigrahaya, that the Lord accepts three kinds of bodies, Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva, for the purpose of creating, maintaining, and annihilating the cosmic manifestation. The three predominating deities of the material universe, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, are called Guna Avatars. There are many kinds of incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the first incarnations within this material world are Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, Shiva. Of these three, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva accept material bodies, but Lord Vishnu does not accept a material body. Lord Vishnu is therefore known as Vishuddha Sattva. His existence is completely free from the contamination of the material modes of nature. One should therefore not think that Lord Vishnu is in the same category with Lord Brahma and Shiva. The Shastras forbid us to think in this way. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudra Didaivataha Samatvena Eva Vikshetha Sa Pashandi Bhave Dhruvam. One who considers Lord Vishnu to be in the same category with devas like Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, or who thinks that Lord Brahma and Shiva to be equal to Lord Vishnu, are to be considered as Pashandi, a faithless non-believer. Therefore, in this verse, Lord Vishnu is distinguished in words Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya. Although a living entity like us, Lord Brahma is exalted due to his pious activities. Therefore, he is given the post, high post of Brahma. Lord Shiva is not actually like a living entity, but he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His position is somewhere between Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Brahma, the living entity. Lord Shiva is therefore explained in Brahma Samhita In this way, Kshiram yatha dadi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tatah pritagasti heto yasham bhutami pritha samupaiti karyat govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Shiva is considered to be like yogurt, dadhi. Yogurt is nothing but transformed milk. Nonetheless, yogurt cannot be accepted as milk. Similarly, Lord Shiva holds almost all the powers of Lord Vishnu, and he is above the qualities of the living entity, but he is not exactly like Vishnu, just as yogurt, although transformed milk, is not exactly like milk. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is also described herein as Vasudevaya Krishnaya. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all Vishnu expansions are his plenary portions, or portions of his plenary portions, known as Swamsha and Kala. The Swamsha, or direct expansion, is also called Amsha. All Vishnu Tattvas are Swamsha, direct parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna is known as Vasudeva because he appeared in this material world as the son of Vasudeva. Similarly, he is known as Devaki Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, Nandanandana, and so on. Again and again, the Lord is very much interested in increasing the influence of his devotees. Therefore, he is described herein as Prabhave Sarva Sattvatam. The Sattvata community is a community of Vaishnavas, pure devotees of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has unlimited powers, and he wants to see that his devotees are also entrusted with unlimited powers. A devotee of the Lord is always, therefore, distinguished from all other living entities. The word Hari means one who takes away all miserable conditions. And Hari Medhase means that the Lord is always planning ways to deliver the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. The Lord is so kind that he personally incarnates to deliver the conditioned souls, and whenever he comes, he makes his plans. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma santhapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. Bhagavad Gita chapter 4 text 8. Since the Lord delivers all conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya, he is known as Hari Medhas. In the list of incarnations, Krishna is described as the supreme and original personality of Godhead. Ete cham shakala pumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrarivyakulam lokam mrudayanti yuge yuge. Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, chapter 3, text 28. Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, appears in this material world when the demigods, who are devotees of the Lord, are disturbed by the demons. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpaturuvyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. The Prachetas are offering prayer after prayer. And every prayer begins with, or there's an expression of Namaha, obeisances. They're offering their respectful obeisances and glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they understand Krishna's position here. Because obeisances factually belong to Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees. In this world, there are many persons who are controllers, tiny controllers, infinitesimal controllers, big controllers, controllers nevertheless, but not the supreme controller. There's a story of Akbar, who was the reigning emperor of, it's called the Indian subcontinent, all the way from what's now Iran down to the whole of the Indian subcontinent was ruled over by Akbar. And for all practical purposes, people thought of him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he was so powerful and such a strong king or emperor. One day, a person came to ask Akbar for something. And he saw that Akbar was in prayer. So he waited. And he watched Akbar bow down, look up, and bow down again, look up again with his hands folded. So then, after his prayers were over, he came to the person and he said, "Yes, what would you like to ask for me?" He said, "I don't want to ask anything. I'm leaving." So Akbar said, "I thought you were waiting all this while to ask something from me." He said, "Yeah, I thought you can give everything that I need, but I see that you yourself are bowing down to someone and looking up and praying to someone. So why don't I go ask that person? Because I have understood, I thought you're the supreme controller, but you're also bowing down to someone. There must be a controller higher than you." So the first phrase here is Prabhupada explains each of the phrases in this verse. So first is Vishuddha Sattvaya. That there are many controllers in this universe, and the topmost among all of them are Brahma and Shiva. Among all living entities, the topmost living entity and the first primordial living entity in this universe is Lord Brahma. They are called guna avatars. Guna means the qualities or the modes of nature. There's the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. Mode of passion is required for creation to happen. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead empowers a particular jiva to predominate the mode of passion. That personality is called Brahma. It's called a guna avatar. The mode of goodness is required for maintaining things. And maintenance is performed by Vishnu. He's called guna avatar, but he does not take a material body. He just performs the function. The Supreme Personality performs the function of universal maintenance. And the mode of ignorance is predominated by Lord Shiva, who is not a jiva like us, who is also not Vishnu Tattva, like Krishna's category, but he is in between. It's called the Shiva Tattva or Rudra Tattva. This is a very particular category, but he predominates the mode of ignorance. And these three, they make sure that there is creation, annihilation, and maintenance of the universe. Now, among these three, Vishnu is distinguished specifically as Vishuddha Sattvaya because he does not take up a material body. We are also spiritual living entities, but we carry with us a very smelly, disintegrating, yucky body. That's our baggage. We carry that with us. And we carry it in different forms or shapes. And it has different smells and odors or fragrances. And it has different features. But we're always carrying a bag with us. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridhatuke. Kunape is a bag. A tridhatu means pus, urine, stool. These are all elements, dhatu. Kapha Pitta Vayu from the Ayurveda perspective. And so we're carrying these bags. Lord Vishnu doesn't carry any bag like that. So he's categorized as Vishuddha Sattvaya. Not only does he not carry a bag, he's always fixed in the pure mode of goodness. It means that when he's in the pure mode of goodness, that in his mind or in his body shall there never be any semblance of ignorance or passion. This is important to understand because there are many activities that Krishna does that look questionable. Such as Krishna will steal Rukmini from the assembly of all the princesses and from the palace of her father, King Rukmini. I forget his father's name. Rukmini's father's name. Bhishmaka, thank you. I was like, hey, what's going on? Or he will steal the garments of the young gopis while they are bathing in the river Yamuna in the cold winter time or Kartik time. That's ignorant activity. Not Krishna's activity, but thinking that that is ignorant activity. Krishna, doesn't matter what he does, he steals butter. He gives Arjuna instructions on the battlefield that actually defy ethical behavior. Although Krishna never violates dharma, to the undiscerning eye, it seems like these are against the principles of dharma. Prabhupada, recently I was hearing, quoting this story. When the battlefield of Kurukshetra was happening, Mother Gandhari, she realized that Duryodhana's, all his brothers are being killed and his situation is very precarious. So she as a mother wanted to protect her son. So she told Duryodhana, tomorrow morning you come, evening, whatever, you come and meet me and come naked in front of me, because I will open my blindfold and I will look at you. By my piety, as a chaste woman, I have great yogic powers. And with that vision, I will protect you. I'll make your body invincible. You'll become so strong that Bhima cannot hurt you. That was her motherly affection. And Duryodhana said, okay. So he took his evening bath and he was walking naked back to meet Mother Gandhari. So Krishna met him and said, hey, Duryodhana, what do you think, you're in California or what? So what are you doing? I said, I'm going to go see my mother. She asked me to come naked to meet her. He said, this is not right. This is disrespectful to a mother. At least put on a gamcha. They shouldn't go like that. So Duryodhana said, but she told me to come naked. Said, no, it's not, it's improper. Especially a chaste woman like your mother, standing naked in front of her is disrespect. You should put on a gamcha. I said, oh, okay, thank you for the good advice. And he put on a little gamcha and went to see her. So when she opened her blindfold and scanned him, she's like, whoa, what happened? Why'd you do that? He said, Krishna told me. And Prabhupada says, Gandhari just smiled and knew that Krishna is far more intelligent. And he tricked him. And that's the area, his groins, that remained weak. And that's why Bhima was asked to hit Duryodhana below the belt. And by the way, hitting below the belt is also unfair. But Krishna told Duryodhana, hit him below the belt. Oh, Krishna, how can... But Vishuddha Sattvaya, there's nothing that is influenced by passion or ignorance. He is always correct. He's always right. So it's something that we should, as practicing devotees, come to appreciate, that Krishna is always right. Like they say in marketing, the customer is always right. Which is not true. The customers can be foolish. But the mentality is that customer is always right. But that's not our mentality. Krishna is factually always right. Always right. Always, always, always right. There are many persons who find fault in Krishna, but that's just an indication of their own faulty vision. So he is Vishuddha Sattvaya. His existence is completely free from the contamination of the material modes of nature. So there is a warning or a caution. Do not put Vishnu in the same category as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or any other living entity. A person who does like that, the Shastra says, is sa pashandi bhave dhruvam. Dhruvam means certainly, definitely, with emphasis. Pashandi. Pashandi means non-believer. That a person does not understand Krishna's transcendental position. He thinks Krishna to be another avatar. He thinks Krishna to be another very powerful person, yet not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the next is Haraye. Haraye, Hari means one who takes away. And what Krishna actually takes away is the attachments of the conditioned living entity. For a living entity who's not cultivating a relationship with him, who's not cultivating Krishna consciousness, then Haraye, he also takes away vision of himself. So people cannot see Krishna. In this context, Hari is specifically described as one who takes away the miseries and difficulties of all the devotees. That is why one should pray to Krishna. If Krishna was not able to take away one's difficulties, then why pray to him? Why go through all of this? The fact that we pray is for Krishna to take away our difficulties, and Krishna does. In fact, that is the proper relationship. Hari Medha se, Medha means brain or thinking capacity, intelligence. Sumedha, right? One who performs Sankirtan Yajna is the really intelligent person. Yajnair Sankirtanai Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedha Saha. So Hari Medha se means his brain, Prabhupada writes, his brain is always thinking about how to benefit his devotee. This is Krishna's only concern. That how does he constantly benefit the living entities? Even if they're inimical to him, he wants to benefit them. So when Putana came, he wanted to benefit Putana. When Aghasura was there, he wanted to benefit Aghasura. When Shishupal was envious, by the way, envy is such a dreadful quality that it burns like this massive forest fire. That means it is so powerful that our little attempts to overcome it become useless. It can burn the entire efforts that we have made at cultivating our Krishna consciousness if we allow little envy to germinate and feed it a little bit. In fact, that is our primordial issue, that we carry envy. And whatever envy that we manifest towards another living entity is fundamentally envy towards Krishna. We're telling Krishna, I don't like the way you've done something. Why should it be like this? So Shishupal was so envious of Krishna from his childhood. He was envious towards Krishna. And Krishna just tolerated and tolerated and tolerated and tolerated. Everyone became uncomfortable. Why are you tolerating like this? Krishna said, I've given his mother my word that I will tolerate 100 insults from him. Then at the Rajasuya sacrifice, when Shishupal, when there was a question, Yudhishthir Maharaj asked the question, who should be the presiding personality for the Rajasuya Yajna? So most people said Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev maybe, because he is like the purest amongst all. But the rest of everyone said, no, Lord Krishna, of course, Lord Krishna, of course. Even Bhishma Dev said, Lord Krishna. Shishupal said, why Krishna? His character is extremely questionable. And then he recited all of Krishna's glories, but in an inimical sort of way. He was stealing butter. He was stealing the garments of the gopis. By the way, he took away my Rukmini. He has no proper character. He's very lusty. But Bhishma Dev, I don't mind, but you know, he's been celibate. So Bhishma Dev said, Krishna is more celibate than I am. Although I'm renowned as being an avowed brahmachari, naishtika brahmachari. In fact, my name has been Bhishma. Bhishma means one who is very strongly avowed. But Krishna is the real celibate. His celibacy is celebrated all over the universe. So Shishupal became very uncomfortable. Why Krishna? And then he started insulting, and the 100 was count was over, and Sudarshan Chakra, you know, separated the head from the body. Even in that, there is benefit because everyone saw. Here's the thing, we can't see the soul. But everybody who was present there saw soul from Shishupal enter Krishna's body. And Yudhishthir Maharaj became so enthralled by that he was shocked. There's a whole section in the 7th canto, very first chapter, where Krishna, the topic is that Krishna is always fair and neutral to everyone. So in that there is a question that Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukadev Goswami, and Shukadev Goswami says to him, well, your grandfather Yudhishthir Maharaj asked the same question to Narada Muni. And this is what Narada Muni said. And there's a whole explanation of Krishna's neutrality and how he is always benefiting. So even Shishupal was benefited. Then what to speak of someone who favorably wants to serve Krishna? Krishna is completely sold out to love. Regardless of one's material qualifications. In Padyavali, Rupa Goswami quotes a verse. It says that Krishna is not attracted by material qualities. In fact, Krishna definitely shows that that's not the attraction. The attraction is love. And so he quotes the list. Where was Kubja's beauty? Krishna was attracted to Kubja, but Kubja was not beautiful. She was very ugly, had a hunchback. But Krishna was attracted to Kubja. Where was Sudama's wealth? Sudama was very poor. Or we heard recently, Kolavecha Sridhar. There were so many holes in his dhoti. But Lord Chaitanya was very attracted to Kolavecha Sridhar. So he's not attracted by wealth. Where was Gajendra's intelligence? In fact, Gajendra was cursed to be a dull animal. King Indudumna was dull. You're so dull, be an elephant. So where was Gajendra's intelligence? Etc. So he goes through this list. So what Krishna is attracted by is loving disposition of the heart. Then we should be very confident that Krishna is always thinking about our benefit. Always, constantly, Hari Medase, constantly making plans. For your brain plans how to do so. What's the how to do so? To take away the devotee's miserable conditions. Now here's the interesting part. While Krishna is always thinking about taking away a devotee's miserable conditions, it is also that the devotee experiences miserable conditions. Queen Kunti was, if you see her pastime, in fact, she lists out all the miserable conditions that she was put in. Her son was poisoned. Then there was a whole conspiracy to kill her 5 sons. They were sent into the forest in exile. They had to be incognito in Virat's palace. The house that they were living in was burned down. Then there was, unfairly, the whole kingdom was taken away. There was a war. So does Krishna take away the miserable conditions or not? And she says, let those miserable conditions come again and again. Because what is the miserable condition going away, the phenomena, is that the devotee experiences the presence of Krishna in every situation. That is the freedom from misery, that he makes himself available to the devotees. It is not that taking the miserable conditions away means it's like this utopian fancy lifestyle. That's not what it means. That he is always thinking of how to give his association to his devotee in all difficult, all circumstances. And people feel miserable more because of lack of love than of the circumstances. Actually, we've discussed this as a whole separate topic. That misery really is lack of love. Because when there is love, it's the most binding force. If, let's take the family for example. Not the same as love from Krishna, but in the case of a family, when there is love in the family, that family can weather any difficulty. If there's shortage of money or shortage of food, it doesn't matter. That family can weather it. If there is love. In the absence of love, that family can have all the assets, but they're miserable. 4 people or 5 people in the family, each one has their own room, their own TV, their own miserable existence. They can't even talk to each other. They can't sit together. So it's not the material assets, it's not the conditions, it's love. So Hari made the say, at least my inspiration, is always thinking how to remove the miserable conditions, is how to make himself accessible to them, that they feel his presence. And along with that, prabhave sarva sattvatam. Prabhave means increasing the glory, expanding the influence of all kinds of devotees. So Krishna is thinking, Krishna is empowering every devotee to do something that influences others. That their influence on the material world increases. Krishna acts through his devotees. Of course, Krishna acts himself as well. But the glory of Krishna is that he acts through his devotees. That he empowers his devotees. All kinds of devotees. Every devotee, neophyte, madhyama, super exalted, if they want to serve Krishna, then Krishna increases their influence. Therefore we see that even young devotees can say something, can influence another person, or persons. They can be totally obscure from a material perspective. But when they want to serve Krishna, then Krishna can help them influence hundreds of people. There are many, many such examples. Completely obscure people can make fantastic influence on others, can have fantastic influence on others. Even if they are not obscure, what to speak of their influence? Srila Prabhupada, for us, he's the shining glory in our sampradaya for us. Is what a personality. Elderly gentleman, 70 years old, in Vrindavan. But look at the influence he had on the entire planet, and in a matter of 10 years. And all he did was chant Krishna's name, just serve Krishna, nothing else. There was no plan, no ambition, nothing. The only plan and ambition, if you want to call it, is I have to fulfill the instruction of my spiritual master. That is it. And his influence, I mean, who in this on this planet does not know Hare Krishna? Somehow or the other, they've met or come in contact with the Hare Krishna influence. Be it prasadam, be it govindas, be it books, be it the holy name, be it temples, be it a Vaishnava. That's the influence. And the influence is that Prabhupada has given us the confidence that we can wear these clothes anywhere. And people will say, oh, hi, who are you? What is all this? Wow. And even if we say one small thing, this is tilak, this is a dhoti, something, that is influencing them. Perceptibly or imperceptibly. That's the influence that Prabhupada has had over the planet. And Prabhave Sarvasattvam, Krishna's working. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. Unless one is empowered by Krishna, one cannot do anything. And Krishna is eager to empower his devotees. Eager. Because he's always thinking how to benefit this devotee and how to benefit every living entity. So those are some thoughts. Comments, questions, you would like to add some things? Yes? Himanshu Prabhu? Hare Krishna. Seemingly, yes. Correct.
So, I was thinking for those of us who don't have experience of knowing who Krishna is or feeling his presence, so then how do we go about when we're seemingly undergoing some tough situation?
So I did say that Krishna acts through his devotees. That is Krishna's presence. So we have access. In fact, a devotee's presence is sweeter. And Krishna wants us to experience sweetness to its fullest extent. So he gives us his devotees. And being in the association of devotees, actually our attention is drawn to Krishna. That is Krishna's presence as devotees. That they can, they know the inner workings of our heart. They know, and they can chide us if necessary, they can encourage us if necessary, whatever is necessary they can do, they're empowered to do so. That is Krishna's presence. It's not like shining light has to appear into our room and, you know, Chaturbhuja or with his flute. That may also be the case, if he deems it so. But the presence of a Vaishnava. Of Vaishnavas, so it's good. In fact, the presence of Vaishnava can remove all difficulties. Just last night we were reading this song by Narottam Das Thakur. He's making this ardent prayer to Vaishnava. Evaru karuna karo Vaishnava gosai. In that there is a verse, Gangara parashakele paschate pavan. That one will get purified after many times bathing in the Ganges. Tomara darshane pavitra karo, e tomara gun. But just by looking at you, O Vaishnav, one gets completely purified. No need to even come in contact per se, just by looking at a Vaishnava. So there's an explanation. A Vaishnava is even more powerful than that. You don't have to look at a Vaishnava, you just have to think of a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava may not even be present. You just have to think of him. And one can get purified. That's the influence a devotee can have. Yeah. mic is with Himanshu, I think. Is it not working? Luke, Prabhu. He starts his questions with so.
So, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. This is not such a practical question, but it came to mind.
Thank God, Jai Jagannath's here for a philosophical question.
There is one Brahma in every material universe. Shiva is in a different category. Is there one Shiva in every universe, or is it like an expansion? How does that work?
I will try, and then if you feel the need to chime in. There is Sadashiva. Sadashiva is in the region between the material world and the spiritual world. That region is technically called the Viraja River. Viraja. Raja means contamination or dirt. Viraja means completely free of anything contaminating. And in the Viraja realm, there is actual transcendental place called Kailash, where Sadashiva resides. He is the potency by which or through which the Supreme Personality of Godhead contacts the material world, the material energy. Or technically, he is called the glands of Mahavishnu. It is the glands. Generally, it's explained that if I'm holding a stick and I touch you with that stick, then I am touching you, but I'm not touching you at the same time. So that stick is the medium by which I contact you. So this Mahavishnu, when he glances at the pradhan, the material energy, that glance is called Sadashiva. Because all the living entities are impregnated into the material energy through that glance. So that's Sadashiva. From an ontological perspective. Within each universe, there are manifestations of that personality as Rudras. There are 11 Rudras in this universe. 11. And all 11 together help in annihilating the universe back to its core, undifferentiated, unmanifested state of Lord Shiva. Correct. Okay. But in most cases, as we read through Bhagavatam, referred to as Lord Shiva or Rudra. It doesn't say this Rudra, that Rudra. They're all Rudras like that. So within this realm, that's what Prabhupada is writing, that to manage the mode of ignorance, they take on material bodies. Although Lord Shiva has a special category of himself, as good as Krishna, is described, kshiram yathada divikara. Yogurt is not different than milk, but it is different from milk. You cannot use yogurt where you want to use milk. It's a transformation. But if you analyze it, it is primarily milk. It's okay. You want to add something? Radharaman Prabhu?
Is religion, is dharma, or whatever Krishna does is not against dharma. But if the same advice or same activity is given by another person, it can very well be against dharma.
Are you thinking of a particular example?
So many of them. For example, you explained that in Mahabharata he asked Bhim to hit Duryodhan below the belt, which is actually Balram was very upset that Bhim killed Duryodhan by that method. So that means in Balram's eyes, that was against dharma. So why is the difference?
What is the difference in how Balaram was thinking?
No. Why, like, whatever the same advice which is given by Krishna is given by somebody else may not necessarily be dharma.
Because not everybody is Vishuddha Sattva. Krishna is never contaminated by the material modes of nature. So there cannot be anything that is wrong. Anyone else is influenced by the material modes of nature, somehow or the other. So even they can give wrong advice.
Advice which was given by Krishna, somebody is repeating it.
Then they are also Vishuddha Sattva in that sense. Prabhupada said that if you are repeating Krishna's words as it is, then they are no different from Krishna's words directly. So in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita as it is, Prabhupada writes, and this is page 22 or someplace, that Krishna said, surrender unto me, always think of me. And Lord Chaitanya said, Kirtaniya Sadahari, always chant Krishna's name. And he said, both instructions are not different. They are exactly the same. And they have the same potency, because it is Lord Chaitanya saying, always chant Krishna's name, and Krishna saying, always think of me. Now, just because someone repeated the words of Krishna, we cannot just universally accept, because there are many professional persons who also repeat the words of Krishna. But in their heart, Krishna is absent. Then those words are not Vishuddha Sattva words. But if a devotee who is developing a relationship with Krishna, or a pure devotee, and if a pure devotee speaks, and Prabhupada says, do this, then that is Krishna's word. This is Vishuddha Sattva. That's the potency in the words of a pure devotee, that they are non-different from Krishna's words. Like there was this Bhagavad Gita conference or something, and Prabhupada visited that conference, and there were shlokas of Bhagavad Gita all over the place, but not one picture of Krishna. So Prabhupada asked them, right? All verses from Krishna's speaking, here they're all this Krishna's word. Why you don't have a picture of Krishna? We're not interested in that person. We're interested in the teachings. It's not Vishuddha Sattva. It's already contaminated like that. Okay. Thank you. Oh, last thing. Is it possible to what?
Please make an announcement about the Harinam today. Oh, here's a question.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for the class, Ru. You mentioned the fundamental principle of existence being love, that everyone is searching for love. And that's the only happiness of satisfaction. I was just wondering if you could explain, because we may have material conception of love because of our material involvement. So how can we, or in the devotional sphere, how can we be more loving? Kind of a simple question, but because it's very much emphasized in the material world, or not so much, but in some spiritual or seeming spiritual paths, be loving, to love. So as we come in Krishna consciousness, we understand the ultimate principle of loving Krishna, and by doing that. But sometimes, I don't know, it may seem that we may be neglectful of trying to implement that in our life. I don't know, I guess I'm speaking from personal. Sometimes it can be overlooked in striving to repose that completely in Krishna. So anything you can share about, just how to...
Love, even if it is material, is very powerful. It's very powerful. There are persons who give up their lives for love. life is something that's very dear. Of course, it's influenced by ignorance, but you get the idea that love is very powerful. It has a very binding effect. It can hold together persons regardless of difficulties. It can hold together persons regardless of religion, regardless of backgrounds. You know, a Hindu boy can fall in love with a Muslim girl, a Muslim man can fall in love with a Christian girl, whatever can happen. Beyond the boundaries of whatever we've put together, love has a very strong effect, even if it is material. Spiritual love, naturally, is far more powerful than that because it is purer, or is pure. The purity is that love has proper direction, purpose, and understanding behind it. That the source of love itself, is Krishna. That is why the word Krishna is attracting. Yes, we generally use the word as all attractive from the context of money, power, beauty, fame, strength, knowledge, renunciation. Those are attractive. But far more attractive is Krishna's loving propensity. That's why whenever we refer to Srimati Radharani, we refer to her as the Ladini Shakti, potency, the Ladini Shakti. That's the attractive power. The Krishna can attract anyone and everyone because of his loving capacity. So when we are becoming devotees, and we are devotees, that's the love we are exchanging. We're exchanging our love for Krishna with each other. Because we have, Srila Radhanath Maharaj gave a fantastic class Sunday, right? That's how he started. Many pebbles you throw and they all have these ripples and they clash with each other because the centers are different. You take all those stones and you put in one, there's a big wave and many ripples, but concentric, no clashes, because the center is Krishna. We love each other, we love each other because we love Krishna. And we can have any difference, that's all right. We can cross over those boundaries. We can cross over those limitations because we love Krishna. That's what we have to cultivate. And when we neglect that or not fully aware of that, then the limitations manifest. We see difficulties, with shortcomings, limitations, all of that. And that's what we clash with. Not that we have to be blind to it and say, oh, love all and everything's fine. Not like that. But it's because we want to love Krishna, we look for solutions to go beyond those limitations and boundaries. Happily. That's what we are cultivating. So unless we are cultivating our attraction to Krishna and Krishna's representatives, we cannot manifest that love for another devotee. We've heard this differently. Unless we are receiving love, we cannot give love. So our daily chanting of Hare Krishna is our receiving of Krishna's love. Our engaging in our services are receiving Krishna's love. Because it's through those mediums that Krishna manifests his love.
And done one more thing. My mother used to say, you can't love anyone until you love yourself. So sometimes a misconception of ourself can be a detriment to...
Upadhis. Upadhis means layers or coverings. Then we have some layers. One layer is I'm very intelligent. Another layer is I'm a fool. I'm very good. I'm not good. I'm powerful. I'm useless. These are all upadhis. And when we operate on the basis of upadhis, we don't see it clearly. So accepting others will come when you accept yourself first. There is a whole topic called self-envy. There's I won't start that now. Now we're moving from this to a little psychological platform where children are taught, if you can love yourself, everyone will love you. If you cannot love yourself, no one will love you. It just works like that. Love is, if you can accept yourself, others will accept you. If you can't, then others can't. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Couple of quick announcements. There is Harinam today. Bhakta Himanshu has the details. 2:15. Can you speak into the mic?
Yeah, we're leaving the temple at 2:30 sharp. If you want to ride in the van, there'll probably be a car with Mataji's in it also, right, Kirti Mataji? Yeah, so there'll be two cars. Otherwise, you can take public transport. We're going to Fullerton and Lincoln, which is off the Fullerton Red Line stop. And we'll be leaving from there around 5:15 p.m. to be back before the evening program. Hare Krishna.
And Mr. Goshti in a couple of minutes downstairs. Thank you. Hare Krishna.